I'm talking with the wonderful saxophone player, Jess Gillum, and you just made your Carnegie Hall debut, did you not?
Yes, last night. I'm still on a high, still buzzing.
So it went well, I would guess.
It did go very well, and the audience were so warm and friendly also, which made a huge difference, because I was very nervous. It's a dream I've had since I was a tiny girl, so to be able to do it and to such a lovely audience was, I'll never forget it.
That's so wonderful. Well, I've been listening to some of your tracks, and most recently you're recording Time, which came out a couple of years ago on Decca Classics, and just, you know, loving to wrap my ears and all of that. I wonder if we can talk a little bit about that album, but first, I'd like to hear a little bit more about you, how you got interested in the saxophone, why that instrument was your choice.
Yeah, I first started it when I was 7, and I picked it up at a community carnival centre, the Barracudas, in Cumbria, and I fell in love with it as soon as I made a sound on it. And it's something about the sound, it's so magnetizing and visceral, and at that age it was so loud, and it was for me, it represented joy and being able to make music with people. So I fell in love with it very, very early.
How did you get interested in recording the saxophone and commissioning works and in commissioning arrangements of works? I mean, how did that happen for you?
Yeah, I started recording, I think I recorded my first album when I was about 18 or 19, and it was something that I knew I wanted to do, because the saxophone is an instrument of such versatility and can play so many different styles and genres, and I wanted to see what the studio could add and use it as an instrument, and I wanted to play music that I loved, and that ended up being a mixture of original pieces for saxophone and also arrangements, and seeing what new life you can bring to a piece and how you can breathe a new life into it is always an exciting journey.
Saxophones come in all different shapes and sizes. Do you focus on a particular type of sax?
Yeah, I play mainly soprano and alto, those two. And I have played a bit of the bigger ones as well, the tenor, and a little bit of baritone, but mainly soprano and alto. I think they're closest to what my singing voice would be, so they're like an extension.
Do you sing?
Badly.
But I sympathize with the aesthetic that you're talking about. I mean, the saxophone has only been around for almost, 2 centuries now? And like violinists talk about their Strad or their Guarnieri or whatever. Is there an equivalent sort of for the saxophone?
Well, I play Yanagisawa, and they're a Japanese company who handcraft almost every single element of the saxophone. And then my instruments aren't old at all. I'm the first owner. I think my alto is the oldest, and I think it's about 5 or 6 years old. But they're made from unlacquered bronze, so that makes it a slightly warmer sound. And they look old because of they haven't got a lacquer on them, but it's different to string instruments, where the instruments kind of mature and become better over time. It's not quite the same with the saxophones, but in another 100 years or 200 years, who knows what we'll think of our instruments from now.
hang on to that instrument. It'll be known as the ex Gillum saxophone, right? In a couple hundred years. Let's talk about the album Time, because there's some great music on here and really wonderful arrangements. I listened to that Max Richter piece of yours on The Nature of Daylight. That's a piece that, you know, has been in movies, but we usually think of it as like the string world, you know, and the saxophone is so expressive in that work. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of the tracks on this disc and the way that it was tailor-made, I guess, for your performance.
Yeah, of course. You mentioned On the Nature of Daylight, and originally being the the strings with the melody, but it's interesting what the saxophone can bring and what it can add. And that's what I always try and do with an arrangement or a transcription. Ask the question, can the saxophone bring something different or shed a new light on this work? And hopefully it does in these arrangements, because it really can add a vocality or just play a melody in a different way. So we also have some new commissions, a piece by Luke Howard called Dappled Light, which is a beautiful sound painting of the world beginning to wake up and the birds singing. And then Suspirium, Tom York. Again, it's trying to imitate his voice on the saxophone, but also see it in a new way. Mm. Yeah, it's always... I try to just play the transcriptions if the saxophone really can bring something to it, and hopefully it does on this album.
Yeah. You say that you listen to this sort of music. I mean, what are you listening to now? If I looked at your device that plays music, what are you focused on these days?
All kinds at the moment. Esperanza Spalding, amazing singer and bass player. I've been listening to her this morning. And also CPE Bach, the energy of his music and how much ecstasy there is in his music, I absolutely love. And then there are always some constants, so I'm usually listening to some David Bowie and usually some form of trip-hop, Portishead or Massive Attack or something like that.
Yeah. You've got a couple of different ensembles that play on this disc, the Aurora Orchestra, and also your own ensemble. Can you tell us about those two collaborators?
Yeah, I've wanted to play with Aurora Orchestra for such a long time. They're a British orchestra with an amazing outlook and a kind of... They're called Aurora Orchestra, but their sound has a glow to it as well. So it was great to get to play with them. And then my ensemble is like a... This is such a dream for me to have a band, a staple group of players. And we've been touring as well, which has been amazing fun. And to get to know a group of seven other players on a personal and musical level and be able to take risks with them on stage and all be in this kind of collective mission as a band together is the best feeling. I mean, being stood on stage with your closest friends making music and second guessing each other where you might be taking risks in the music is really refreshing for me. I spend so much time on stage with only one other person or time traveling on my own. So being with that group has been really special.
Yeah. Well, the Aurora Orchestra plays with you on the Michael Nyman track on this. Yeah. Where the Bee Dances.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the story behind that. You have some history with that work.
I do, yes. It's the piece I played in the final of the UK competition, BBC Musician of the Year. And I first heard it, I think, when I was about 12. And I'd never, ever heard a saxophone with an orchestra. I'd never heard a saxophone sound like it. And I thought, can this be the same instrument that I play? I don't understand how it can make that sound. And hearing that recording was a real turning point for me, for thinking this is what's possible with the instrument. And it's a piece that's full of energy and drive and this kind of relentless rhythmic patterning that repeats and circles and orbits, but also has some really beautiful lines and melodies in it as well.
Yeah, it's lovely to listen to. And I love how it starts out kind of relaxed and small and then builds into this tremendous buzz, I guess you would say, at the end of the piece. That's wonderful.
It does.
Yeah. Now, you made this recording a couple of years ago, right around when the pandemic was really taking hold. I mean, how did that affect the creation of this disc?
Yeah, it was a strange, because we'd recorded all of the music, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the UK went into lockdown. Well, maybe a month before we went into lockdown. COVID was just about on our lips, but we weren't really sure what it was or what would happen at all. So we'd had all the music recorded, and then the release of the album was in the lockdown, which was very strange because we couldn't tour it, we couldn't see how the music worked live, we couldn't really play it to audiences in the same way. But it was nice in a way to be able to release it and for people to experience it at home and for them to have a reaction with it at home. And it kind of took on a new way in how we packaged it and how we put it together.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, folks may know that you are a radio presenter. You're on BBC Radio 3 in the UK. How did you get into the whole radio arena?
I love talking, which seems to follow me around. I love talking to people and finding out their stories and chatting to them. I'll try and talk to anybody. But I took part in the BBC Musician Competition, and I think they'd picked up on my kind of love for talking to people and finding out people's stories. And they'd asked if I would make a podcast for their programme for BBC. And I did. And that was about being a young musician. And we got to interview some amazing guests, Simon Rattle, Pekka Kuusisto, and we'd interview them on each aspect of the life of a young musician. And then that kind of came to a close, and they said, would you be interested in maybe working on a weekly programme? And I said, I would love to. And now we have a show called This Classical Life every week on BBC, and it's available here in America as well as a podcast. And I sit with another musician and ask them about the music they love most, and we pick four tracks each and have a conversation about it, and it's fascinating. I really love it.
That is so interesting. You got any tips you can share with me?
No, for me, I see it as kind of like the same thing as playing saxophone. It's communication, but with a different way. So I feel like all of my music training has helped so much with just speaking to people. But I'm sure you find the same, just being able to have conversations and then share them with other people. It feels like such a gift to be able to share and reach people when they're just at home, maybe cooking, doing the dishes. Yeah. You can have a chat with them and not even know them. And I love that.
Well, I imagine that it helps that you two are a performing musician on stage. You kind of have a backstage view of those people's lives.
Yes, and also experience of playing as well, so you can kind of empathise with them or try and see where they're coming from. And it's interesting hearing what music they listen to as well, because I think sometimes, especially with classical music, we can kind of see these performers on stage and imagine that they only listen to Bach or Beethoven or the music that they're performing. But then when you say, okay, what if you pick four pieces of music that would be your kind of favourite pieces right now, the pieces you hold most dear, they can range so much, and the music that people listen to tells so much about a person. So it's really fascinating.
That's wonderful. Well, while you've got your presenter hat on, I wonder if you could recommend a particular track from this Time album for us to leave our listeners with.
What would I say? I really love Orbit, which was the commission by Will Gregory. It's got a lot of energy and kind of almost rock inspired, so I would go for Orbit.
Okay. I've been talking with the wonderful saxophonist Jess Gillam, who just made her Carnegie Hall debut. It was great that you made some time to talk with us while you're here in the U.S. And thank you for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thank you.